Welcome back, everyone. And for those of you who were not able to join us on the weekend away, I think, and I don't know if they're posted yet, but we recorded, I think, they are recorded there. So especially, I think, the talk on Friday night about forgiveness is really powerful. And we actually do that kind of work of kind of working through lies and wounds and inner vows. And forgiveness in the prayer ministry that we offer. And you can go to our website, and there's information on the formation sheet about our healing ministry. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for the beauty of the snowfall. We thank you for the changing of the seasons. We thank you that there are seasons in our lives and that you continue to draw us deeper into your heart of love. As we come to the end of the liturgical year, as we remember Christ the King and the judgment that we will face at the end of time, we thank you that you look upon us with mercy in Christ. And we ask you to help us prepare well for the season of Advent and Christmas, and ultimately to prepare well for your return. We entrust this evening now to you and ask that you remind us that we're parts of one family, and we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is the last talk in this Resurrection Life course. It won't be, of course, the last time that we'll have an opportunity to get together and talk. Hopefully you'll see each other in various contexts, and we'll talk about some of those opportunities later on. But as we framed the course, we decided to frame it really around the creed, and we believe in God the Father. And I began the series talking about God the Father, and some of us have father wounds, and we doubt that the Father really loves us. And that second week, we talked about the love that God has for us, that he sent his Son to die on the cross for love of us, that we might be treated as if we had fulfilled the expectations of the law. That wasn't a point that was made in that talk, but we have the righteousness of Christ given to us through our baptism. The judgment of sin and death is taken away, and we have an opportunity. And the third talk that Father Jim Rolfe gave about the Holy Spirit, it is through his Holy Spirit. So we spent some time on the day away, some of you who weren't there. We had somebody sit in the hot seat, and are either of them here? Yep, Stacy's here. Was any of that relevant to you, that stuff that was communicated? You think that maybe the Lord spoke? All right, yeah, so he does that. Now, the Lord spoke to us for her and for, is it Emma? Emma Rose? And but he also speaks to us for us. And I think that first, I lose track of when I tell different stories, but I think I shared that first night about words that the Lord gave to me. And I hope that you will spend time talking to the Lord about the ache, the longing, the desires in your hearts, and let the Lord speak into it. And we need silence to let him speak into it. And if there's one thing that we, in this technological age, have lost, it's silence. Noise all the time. I was reading about the UK, and they're preparing for a summer, or not a summer, but a winter without power. And they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do in the dark? Well, okay, candles, kerosene lamps, flashlights, or they call them torches, right, the Brits. But I don't think that's going to be the hardest thing. I'm not going to be able to have my media, right? And I think the Lord wants us to pull back from the distractions. And one of the things that we're trying to do here at the Church of the Resurrection is have more face-to-face, more real, less meta, more real, face-to-face conversations and being able to eat a meal together. And we'll thank the crew for a wonderful meal as we get ready for dessert. Always eating, right? All right, here's to the goodness of creation. And it is, that's one of the things I loved about being away. And this is the first time we've done the day away. It was just 20 hours, but it seemed great. Very manageable, and some of you stayed up longer into the night. Yes. Yeah, no, it's really good. And so one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. And hopefully there was a sense of love and of communion. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of those things that I can rattle off. But the Lord wants us to experience them. He also wants us to have wisdom and courage and the gifts of the Spirit. So really, what we're hoping through this course and through the work that we do as a parish is to help people grow in their life as disciples of Christ, to become more like the perfect image of Christ that you are, Judy, the perfect image of Christ that you are, Patty, the perfect image of Christ that you are, John. And none of us is there yet, but we're moving toward that. And there might be someone who is looking to you to be a witness. Right? You might say, not me. But the fact is, people do look to us. And we can be leaders to the good or to the ill, right? Some of us are natural leaders. And the Lord wants us to lead to the best. And if we fail, to acknowledge it and then to get up again. The Lord wants us to taste the new life in the Spirit. And part of that is having an awakening to the spiritual things, having a conscience. Some of you might feel like, you know, I used to look at this material, or I used to do this, and it's harder for me to do it now, right? That means that there's a conscience there. If you're on the way to hell, Satan is going to encourage you, feeling good, until you smack against the brick wall. And the Lord is going to allow you to kind of trip and fall out of love, because he wants you to be unhappy in the ways of darkness, those things that I talked about in the talk on Saturday, right? So when we sense, Lord, why did you let me fall? Because I wanted you to get up and talk to me. He has the long view in mind, and so he allows suffering to occur so that we will recognize our need for him. He's not codependent, okay? God is not codependent. It isn't, I'm so puny that I need you to need me. No, we can't even breathe without him. And he just wants us to realize it. So he brings us, all of us at some point, and many of us, many times, to the end of ourselves so that we cry, not uncle, but Abba. Lord, help me see that you are the source of my life. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 talks about the power, and I talked about this in my talk on Saturday. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I said Clarkston, I think, on Saturday, and Lansing, and Mason. Lansing. East Lansing? That's beautiful. Pay attention. There's a bugle. An uncertain trumpet, right? And the fact is, we prayed. We prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I said that some of you might have the gift of healing, right? And so when we get done here, before we have dessert, we're going to pray for you, Patty, for healing, all right? You got some bad news from the doctors? And it's a beautiful thing that you see yourself resigned to a loving God. It's a witness to me. But we ask, what daughter wouldn't say, please, I think I have more to do. Would you glorify yourself, Lord, by healing me? So we're going to pray for that, all right? Peace in your heart and healing in your body. The second Saturday of December, we're going to have a healing encounter in every second Saturday of the even months. So the last one was in October. This one will be in December. We're going to gather for an hour and a half to 2 hours just in the presence of the Lord. And then we allow people to come up and spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament and even to reach out and touch the hem of the humeral veil, the hem of the Lord's garment, and then to pray for healing and hear a testimony. Some of you might have testimonies, and we'd be happy to hear some of those later tonight after we have dessert. Dessert. We're going to pray before dessert. Okay, Patty, so make sure you get that prayer in. But we talked before about the fact that I asked for a show of hands on Saturday. I said, how many of you have put sin in the past, right? And everybody was saying, well, I'm better than I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be, right? You know, and we're dead to sin, and yet Romans 7 says, I do what I don't want to do, I don't do what I want to do. Some of you, I know, are trapped in patterns of addictive behavior, right? You hate it, but you love it. You hate it, but you love it, but you hate it, and you love it till you hate it, and then you hate yourself for loving it, and then you give in. And the evil one is saying, maybe for a season you had some victory, and you feel like, hey, I got this. I am free. I'm free. And then you fall. And the evil one comes, and the pride, oh. And half of you says, well, I kind of like that sin anyway. Mm-hmm. But sin is death. It is. It's just a momentary pleasure. Then the evil one tempts us, and then he accuses us. And when we give in, I always tell people in the confessional, if they come back, here I am again, and I did it again. Now, I have to say, you did what again, right? They have to say it, because I don't know. I don't keep track of these things. And then they say what the sin is. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of sins to keep track of. No. No, mostly my own. Thank you. Thank you, Lou. I'm the first among equals in terms of sin. I know my own sins best, but I also know the way the evil one works. And here's what the evil one wants to do. He wants you to sin. He wants me to sin and then beat ourselves up for having sinned. It's that second move that is the problem. What does the Lord want us to do if we fall? He doesn't want us to fall, but if we fall, he wants us to come to him. Right? Come back. He's never saying, one more time, buddy, that's it. Never. Never. He's more ready to forgive than we are to sin. But the evil one wants us to give up the struggle. Just throw in the towel. You're never going to get free. You're never going to get free. Well, I'm not going to get free if you keep whispering and yelling in my ear. But he doesn't actually yell. Satan doesn't actually yell. I told you that the voice of God sounds like our own voice. So is the voice of Satan. And some of you have given in to the self-talk of Satan and started talking, you are such a loser. You are such an, I don't know what you say, but that's a curse that you need to reject. The answer is, I'm a beloved, you're a beloved son or daughter of God in whom he delights. That's the truth. And the more we can say, you know, we say, I'm okay, you're okay. I'm messed up, you're messed up. We're all messed up, and he loves mess ups. Because he wants us to know that we can't do it on our own. We need him, and we need each other. The solitary sheep, or the prey, is easy target. So we need fraternity with each other. And hopefully you'll have a group that you, maybe even the groups that were a part of here, or maybe some other relationships that you got to develop over the weekend away or the day away, just to be able to have someone to call. And if you have no one else to call, you can dial 482-474-9106. That'll go to my cell phone. You might say, I don't want to talk to you, Father. But that will go to my cell phone. Seriously, we need to be able to reach out and connect with other people. The evil one hates you and wants you to despair and to give up on the spiritual life. The Lord wants you to acknowledge that you need, and if you can yield your heart and mind and will to him by fits and starts, he can use you. And in fact, your story of fits and starts may be very encouraging to somebody else who's saying, I tried to, no, go ahead, it gets better. I'm not totally free from this or that, but I'm freer than I was. I'm freer and freer and freer, freer to receive and to give love. That's what the Lord wants for us. And it's real. It's not flipping a switch. Some people have a radical transformation when they accept Jesus as their Savior. They just instantaneously be free. But most of us are not that way. It's fits and starts. And the Lord wants it to be that way. Because honestly, as I said, if everything we asked for we got, where would the faith be? It's like, I'm a billionaire. I can buy everything. How many billionaires do you think are happy? You might say, probably none, but I'd like to try. I mean, seriously, money can't satisfy. Nothing here below can satisfy. No person can satisfy other than Jesus. So growth in the new life, what does it take? It takes some choices, right? There may be some people in your lives that when you get together with them, you never fail to sin. And you can say, I'm evangelizing them. No, think again. You're not evangelizing them. So if there are some relationships, now, what I would recommend that you do is say, you know what? I'm trying to break free of this or that. I invite you to break free too. If you want to do that, we can continue to spend time together. But the fact is, I don't want to live this life anymore. This life of negativity, or this life of drunkenness, or this life of getting stoned, whatever it is, or premarital relationships, all right? I want to get free from it. And if they can help you along that path, great. If not, you probably need to sever that relationship, as painful as it might be. Evil companions corrupt good moral habits. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. The other thing is media. I already talked a little bit about that, and some of you know that I'm quite smug about my dumb phone. I know. It's. I'm so proud of my humiliating flip phone. No, I'm freer from media. I don't even have the internet at my house. You might say, well, that's not possible for me. But the fact is, I'm freer. You know what I do? I actually read. Did you know that could be done at home? Reading? That's not all I do. I do listen to some podcasts, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. But I don't do much media. You might say, Father, you have a very boring life. I actually have a very happy life. I have a banjo. I've started plucking on my banjo. I'm not that good. Don't get too excited about hearing me play the banjo. But there's some choices. Pulling back. Maybe taking some apps off your phone that you're not the master of, but they're the master of you. Right? We want to be free. And if I'm a slave to my device, I'm not free. We want to foster relationships. You know, there's After this, one of the things that we hope that people will maybe take advantage of is something called a Connect group. It's between about 20 and 30 adults, and then some kids as well, who get together every other week and just have a meal together, just like this. They would have someone share a testimony, and they would have a discussion in small groups. So it's kind of like this, but you actually get to know, and it's all ages, young to grandparents, right? Children to grandparents age. And it's a great gift, and it's much more manageable than this size, and it's much more predictable than a small group. So let's imagine you have four people in your small group, and two people can't come. Now you've got two people. It's a little awkward there to, I mean, you can do it fine, but it's better when there's more than just one or two people, so that you can, cord strand is not easily broken. The other thing that I'd encourage you very much to do is to take time every day in prayer, every morning in the morning. I want to ask for a show of hands about how many people look at the news feed first thing in the morning. Well, let's talk to the news feed with the one who is the news, Jesus or the Father first. And at the end of the day, same thing. And I don't know if it was Liz or if it was Sean, just talking about every day, try to pray at least 10 minutes a day. And if you're able to do that, not just written prayer, but spending time talking to God and then listening to Him. If you can, ideally for a layperson, even very, very busy ones, I would say ideally about a half hour of prayer every day. And all at once, instead of 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. What I found when I was on my 30-day retreat, I think I shared this story the first night, it would often be at the end of the time that I had committed to that the Lord would show up. Interesting, isn't it? What's he doing? He's rewarding commitment to a set amount of time. You might say, well, that's mean. No, it isn't. It's reinforcing a good habit, right? No, no, no. If you're willing to stick with this, Stevie, I don't know what he calls me exactly, but I'm little. He's big. I'm little. And I need him. And so do you. So if you say, I'm going to pray 10 minutes, stay 10 minutes. The evil one's going to say, you got to really go. You got a busy day. At 9 minutes, oh, what did you miss? We don't know. Stay. We've got books that you're going to be able to get this coming weekend. An Advent Companion, that's a great little reflection every day for the season of Advent, which will begin a week from Sunday. And we're going to give you a book a week from Sunday called Eat, Fast, Feast. Doesn't that sound good? Feast? Eat and feast? That sounds good. What about that fasting? It's a great book. It is a spiritual discipline. So there are a lot of other books that we're going to give. So that's a way for you to continue to grow in the faith is by studying. One of the things that the evil one will try to do is send those challenges to us to get us to throw in the towel. You might have a good week or season of Advent, and then you'll slide back, backslide. If you think that is unusual, it is not. C.S. Lewis calls it undulation. You got the high points and the low points. And sometimes I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but after last weekend, maybe you had a powerful experience with the Lord, and then you crashed in a big way, in a sinful way. No hands. But it happens. Why? The evil one wants to say, oh, how'd that work out? And then he wanted you to start not just sinning, but then blaming yourself, and you're never going to amount to anything. That's a lie. It's all lies. You're already perfect in Christ. How's that? Greg, can you believe it? Heather, can you believe that he's perfect? Laughter. That was good. No, we're all already perfect in him. So he can do it, okay? But not by our own strength. Some of you have heard me say, been a part of the parish, sometimes we try, I'm going to just white knuckle it, and it doesn't work. In fact, the evil one loves that, because we just get burned out and we begin to think that we can do it on our own. Isn't it good that we can't just, I'm just going to free myself, and then anybody else that struggles, we're going to say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What are you so weak? No, we're all weak. And I can say I'm weak, and I'm not ashamed. That's freedom. Now, he wants us to be strong in him, not in our own strength. I was going to say something else, but I lost track as usual. But it'll probably come back to me if it's important. If it's not, say lovey. So, if you're Catholic, and I think most all of us are Catholic, come to Mass here or someplace else every week. All right, and more often if you're able to. We need Jesus. I'm supposed to be perfect. I can't do it on my own. I need him who is perfect to give me the grace to become perfect. And it's step by step. And if you do have a pattern of sin, some people come into the confessional and they say, I fell again. Well, isn't it good that you fell running uphill instead of downhill? Right? Because when we're striving, we fall, we don't go so far. If we're running downhill, just kind of giving up and falling, tumble. And it's all over but the tears. Communion is, I mean, one of the things that is a very interesting phenomenon here at the Church of the Resurrection is coffee and donuts. I mean, it is remarkable how many people come over for coffee and donuts. Amber has been serving coffee and donuts. Now, are you going to still serve? Thank you. But she was received into the Catholic Church on Sunday morning. I meant to say this early. Let's welcome her now officially. We've got a families group. It used to be called Young Families Group, and it's just the families group now. We want to really support families, and so look for those upcoming events. We're going to have a program called Waymarks, which is for small groups. It's going to have a reflections that Sean O'Neill has pulled together and then some video presentations. That's still in process. On our website, I think there's a link to formed.org that has all kinds of resources, of movies. I think Chosen can be found there. You were saying that, Mary Ellen? So Formed. There's a code. I don't even think the code is needed anymore, but you don't need the form code anymore. Used to be the case. If you have a desire to read maybe C.S. Lewis this or that, and you don't have a group, form a group. So what you do is you say, I'm going to form a group. Heather, would you like to be a part of it? And what about you, Greg? There's three of us now. So really, we tried to do the organization at the central level, and that doesn't work. Now, if you struggle, if you feel like nobody wants me, right? That can happen. You can feel that way. Call. We'll make some introductions. All right. We don't want anyone to be that lone sheep that feels, like he or she is on the island of misfit toys. All right. I date myself, all right. We've got a bunch of formation. The stuff on Formed is high production values. There's some closer to home we've got on our website, opportunities. And what we want to do after the new year is create more opportunities for service. So let's just take some time to thank those who prepared the food. That is tremendous service. All of us have gifts, and we want them to be used. Dan Dowsett works with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and I know, Sean, you're a part of that group. I don't know if anybody else here is a part of that group, but that would be an outreach to those who really are the least of these in our community, and we need to foster that and do that more and more. You might find that as things develop, you've got a gift for worship, and you want to become a part of one of the ensembles, a choir or another group. The fact is the Lord has called us into being and called us into communion. And he wants us to grow and to spur each other on to love and good deeds. There's a couple of upcoming events that I just want to bring to your attention. I think it's on the handout that Debbie gave us at the beginning of the evening. There's a women's retreat it's just a morning retreat from 9 to noon. Debbie Herbeck, I can't remember the title. Mary Ellen, do you remember the title? More Than Conquerors, right? Surviving in Times of Struggle or something like that. But Debbie is great, and it'll be easy in and out. You can come to the 8:15 Mass if you want. Starts at 9 here in Mercy Hall, and then finishes up at noon. And we're going to have there's a retreat for young men and women, I think 18 to 39. I think it's 18 to 39, called Wonderfully Made, God's Design for Men and Women. It's on the theology of the body, but it's going to be a meditation on the confusion in our time, but also an opportunity for those who are in that age range to learn together with other people and perhaps to meet. And the point is not to meet people, but where do you meet people? I mean, where do men and women meet? Bars, right? I guess we used to do it at the church. So anyway, that's a. Don't tell them that I said that that's a place to meet a possible. No, it is. It isn't. In fact, I mean, that was a real sadness on my part. In here, Sean shared about, maybe talk about struggles in your life. And I was 36 when I came back to the church, and I had dated on and off. I think I told this story on the first night. I was very sad that I had not found. I actually carried a torch for this woman for like 10 years. I told you, I was pathetic. But the Lord used it. Actually, you might say, Father, you're still pathetic. No. The fact that I can laugh at it because I know that the Lord was working. The fact is, I am bringing more glory to God than had I married this woman, Ruth, that I thought would make me happy. She might have made me happy, but I don't think as many people would have come to know Jesus in the way that I could help them come to know him. So this is, why does the Lord not give us exactly what we ask for, when we ask for it? Because he's got plans. And what does it take? It takes us paying attention, and we can help each other pay attention. That's why community, a small group or a connect group, coming to events, meeting people, smiling, laughing, eating food and dessert together. Let me see if I've got other things. Sean will listen to this and he'll wonder, did you cover all the material? This was his talk, so. I hope that you are listening to the Lord expectantly, even when you're in mire. Maybe the Lord has something for you to say to the young mother with the little girl or the little boy. And you can say, I give you permission, I did not trademark this. This may sound crazy, but the Lord just told me, just give them permission to say, yeah, that sounds crazy. But what happened? The Father in heaven, look at my son, look at my daughter, wanting to encourage one of my children. That delights the Father. That's why we're here, to encourage each other, to build each other up. So let's commit to each other, to help each other come to know his love more, and to share his love with others. And let's close now with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the hope of salvation you've given us, hope for union with you in this life and ultimate fulfillment and joy in the life to come. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. You are the ultimate fulfillment of all human desires, and the life-giving relationship with you is what we were created for. We offer ourselves to you now, body, mind, and spirit. Everything that we have, everything we are is yours. Do with us as you will. Let us know your love, Lord Jesus. Reveal to us the love of God the Father, the love that he has for each of us as his children. Help us to put away our old ways and to awaken to new life in you, a life of peace, joy, and freedom. Here and now, we open ourselves to your love and ask you to heal us of our brokenness. We ask you to pour out upon us your Holy Spirit so that we can live the life of faith and freedom that you have gained for us through the power of your rising. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.